Broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gayo speaking, inviting you to stay tuned to this station you're listening to for God's message, and you pray for us. And may his will be done. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the hours that are past and gone now from us, for the impressions thou hast left on many a heart. Thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for the blessings we receive by reading and meditating, the comfort, the assurance. We thank thee for your grace this morning that makes the difference. We pray that the hearts will be open, broken at thy feet. And the Holy Spirit will have his way, each and every heart. Dear Heavenly Father, guide us and keep us in this hour. And we'll give thee all the praise and honor and glory for Christ's sake. We ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 276 and sing Redeemed. 276, Redeemed. Gracious number that is. His child and forever I am. Can you say that? His child and forever I am. Sing another song, number 95. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's stand as we sing it. Everybody stand. Thank you.
thank you. Yes, it's a good question for every one of us to ask ourselves and to answer it in truth. Glad to see this group here this morning. Nice number. So I know we have so much sickness going on, and it's been limiting our audience here, but we praise the Lord for you, and I'm sure we have lots of people listening into the radio this morning, and I praise the Lord that many will get the messages on tape throughout the nation. I'm rejoicing in the Lord this morning, and I feel led of the Lord at this time to bring a message. It's a timely message. You remember a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, we had a message, dropped a message in on Jude that we are studying on Wednesday night, and they're timely messages. Now I can understand why the Lord has been giving us those studies. He's led us into the studies of Jude because it's appropriate for our day, our time. And I want to get another message out of that today. I thought I had another one. I told my wife I thought I was going to preach on this subject this morning, but I said the Lord willing, and he may change it by the time I get up to the pulpit. And he has. And we're still talking along the line of the defense of the faith, defending the faith. So I'm sure you heard the message, you heard this, you realized the study, but there's always something in there, new truths that we can learn and that the Lord wants us to know. We have to stand our grounds today. We must stand it in the face of all opposition. And I know of no better way than to using the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, in warning people, warning others who are not saved, those who are on profession. It's just to warn individuals. God tells us to go out and warn individuals. And we have to be warned. You have to be warned. Of the judgments of God. If you don't know Christ, if you're not saved, of you, I don't know. All I know what to do is just go and preach the Word of God, and teach it, and just trust the Holy Spirit to appropriate it to every heart. I'm concerned about you. And so I want us to study this morning or preach from the general epistle of Jude again. So you turn with us in your Bible. And you may say, well, I've heard that study already. Well, that's all right. Turn that you might learn more. The Word of God, as I was telling someone, I said, that well never grows dry. You just keep digging, keep drinking, keep feeding, and something else comes out. And so as we studied or preached the Word of God, whatever you want to call it, God's going to bless His Word. Now, I know at this hour, there are not too many out in radio land that gets a chance to be with us to study together. And I think it's a good time for us to give some of these studies on the 11 o'clock broadcast. I know the old parson used to say, well, it's the same message, but he dresses it up with just a little different. And may the Lord lead us to do. If not, well, I know He'll bless your heart. Now, I want us to begin reading again from the first verse of Jude. Jude 1. I'm glad to see some here this morning who hadn't been with us some time, down with the flu and sicknesses. Glad to see Brother Bubba Porch with us this morning. And he's been down with the flu for the past week. I've been keeping in contact, finding out how he's doing. And of course, he had another operation, as you know, in the hospital. But he's with us this morning. And as I just mentioned about Brother J.B. Shelton's wife, who went through a serious operation, she's doing well. And then others, my brothers in the hospital, had been very sick. And others, I forget not to take you to the throne of God's grace. Remember you in prayer and hoping for your quick recovery, whatever the Lord's will may be. Praying for the awakened sinner. Praying for those who oppose the gospel, who oppose themselves. And so let's pray one for another. We'll see that as we go more and more into our studies in 1 Corinthians and the study in Ephesians, as we come back to it next week, the Lord willing. There's so much for us to learn and so much that we can administer one to another from the Word of God as is given to us. I want us to read here now in Jude that first verse. Let's read it. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Now, we dealt with that word called a little bit at the 11 o'clock or the 10 o'clock Bible School of the Air. There's so much that surrounds this word here, called. There's so much you can teach on and preach on it. And what a wonderful word it is. What a sweet word it is to the believer. The word called, to know I've been called of God. And then he goes on. Now he's talking here to the saints. He is talking here. He's not speaking here to the that individual who laughs the word of God, makes fun of it, the modernist. He's speaking here to God's elect, to his people, and how well we do receive them, and how the word of God leaps into our hearts, and we lay hold of them by faith. Yes, and I can appropriate this to me because God called me, like I, as I spoke on it at the 10 o'clock hour. God called me. And that's a sweet word. I'm not afraid of it. So many people are afraid of that word called because they misinterpret the word call. They think it's just mere a going down the aisle and giving the preacher your hand or being baptized in the pool of water or something like that, and they call that you've been called of God. It doesn't mean that. What they rejoice in is their baptism and other things and their experiences. But listen. Now, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Praise God, I'm preserved in Christ. And there's nothing, as I stated that in the 10 o'clock hour, there's nothing that can separate the believer from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we spoke on that sometime a few Sundays ago, if you heard me. And then if you heard me on Wednesday night, the fifth verse. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now likewise also these filthy dreamers. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Likewise these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now let's look at that verse of scripture. Likewise these filthy dreamers. Now let's look at it. Likewise also, in like manner, do these persons defile the flesh, or resemble the inhabitants of Sodom, that they practice the same kind of vices. Now, who is Jude talking about here? Who are the men and women of his day? He's talking about those individuals who came out on a religious profession. They got into the church. They begin to act like the church members in there, the true believers, imitate them. And then they begin to infiltrate them with their heresies, with their doctrines, with their damnable doctrines. And they begin to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and telling the people in their ears or by mouth some way or another that there's nothing wrong with practicing this and that and fornication, and describing that the old body, there's nothing wrong with practicing those things, because when the old body dies, it's going back to dust, and so there's no use worrying about that. We go on sin, and as long as we can do those things in the body, but the soul is preserved forever, and nothing can hurt that, nothing can touch that. And so they brought in their doctrines, which were the doctrines of demons. And they spoke on that wise, that it was nothing wrong in partaking of the things of the world, of the flesh. Go on, go ahead and do it. Your soul is preserved. You know, once saved, always saved. And that was their theory. That was their belief. And so they begin to infiltrate like that. Now let's go on. Now these persons defile the flesh, and they resemble the inhabitants of Sodom. Now what happened in Sodom? Well, they committed all types of sin, fornication, adultery, the sin of incest, and everything else. And so he's comparing them with the inhabitants of Sodom. Remind you, religious professors who are supposed to know better, but because they did not have the new heart and the new nature, they didn't know better. They couldn't do better. And then they begin to make excuses for their sins and for their practicing of lust. Now the word likewise expresses the fact that though they have these examples before them, yet they persist in their sin without taking warning from those divine judgments. And Jude goes on to call them dreamers. These dreamers, now the word filthy is not in the original. The thought here is these apostate teachers, not saved, in their unregenerated condition, and with their depraved minds, darkened hearts, and darkened understandings, they couldn't think straight. They couldn't. How could anyone think straight who has the natural mind, whose mind is darkened, whose heart is darkened, and their understanding is darkened? How can they think straight? All right? Which means they are beguiled with sensual images, carried away into all manner of filthiness. Their doctrines were the fruits of mere imagination. They are controlled and held captive by the power of ungodly sensual impulses. Now, Jude describes the character of these deceivers. He describes them as those who defile the flesh. Now, I want you to listen this morning. God laid this upon my heart for some purpose, because it's counteracting much of the thinking of today. And many who profess to be saved, I've had people call me up and ask me, well, I'm committing such and such. Is that a sign I'm not saved? And I had to go on and tell them the difference, the contrast between those who are saved and those who are not saved. I've had them to write me. And the more I study the Word of God and meditate upon it from week to week, the more I'm coming to see the great contrast, like I brought last week. And I thought I was going to bring the furthest message on that today. But I'm turning over to this now, that there is a difference between an individual who is saved and a difference in an individual who is not saved. It's just as much of a difference as night and day. And you cannot but detect and know those individuals who are saved and those who are not saved. But Jude is describing these filthy dreamers, apostate teachers, who have gone the way of Cain and Balaam and Korah. He describes them as filthy dreamers. And do you know, we have them dreaming today. And they dream many things today, and their dreams are filthy, as the Word of God tells us. It fits in with their lives, with their testimony. And you hear this one preach and that one preach, there's nothing sound about them. It's just as flat and empty as can be. As I listened somewhat to someone this morning, it's just as flat, just as hard. It's not coming from a heart of a pathos. It's coming from a heart that's cruel and seeking revenge. And I praise, and I know I've got the praise in the Lord for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the new birth, and for the Spirit of Christ that makes the difference, for His mercy, and for His grace. Now let me go on. These individuals defile the flesh, and you had better be careful. There are individuals who will try to defile you if you do not, if you are not on guard, if you are not careful. And they'll be coming into our homes by means of tapes and radio. But my dear friend, if you're not on Christ, they're going to defile you. It's the purpose of Satan to defeat this ministry, to defeat the saints, God's work, and he'll try every bit in this world to get you entangled and get you within his net. Now let me tell you something. I got to thinking this morning as I'm seeing the work of Satan all around us. Now I'm here for this purpose, to warn sinners, to warn you. I got to thinking of what they did David in the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, how they cast a net upon him, or around him. They dug a ditch around him to hem him in and to, ensnare him, to make him lose hope and lose faith in his God. He knew they were there, as I well know that they are there, our enemies of today, the enemies of this church, individuals who were once here. They're our enemies now. We must count them as our enemies. That doesn't mean that we hate them and be cruel towards them. We have to count them as our enemies. And they're coming in, as you'll note, and more and more. But you know, the greatest thing, my dear friends, is that you will know the peace of God which passeth understanding. I know this morning I got to thanking God for that peace. Who is that individual who earns such peace? Now, I'm not talking about earning salvation, but those who will receive such peace is that individual whose mind is stayed on Christ. Now, if your mind's not on Christ, and you become unstable, And you may be unstable now. And you become confused. And you become ensnared in that mesh. And I tell you, we've got to be careful nowadays. And that's why Jude has left us with this epistle, as inspired by the Spirit of God, that we will contend for the faith and warn individuals not to listen to these types of men. They defile the flesh. They pollute themselves. And they'll pollute you with their doctrines. They'll pollute you with their belief and what they think. They'll ensnare you with their slander. They'll pollute you. How many individuals have been polluted by these unsaved religionists that at one time belonged to this assembly? They have actually been polluted. And they believe the lie, and therefore they have gone off from us. They have believed the lie. That's true. Now, have you believed the lie? Or are you going to believe Satan's lie? They give themselves indulgence to corrupt passions and appetites. They live after the flesh. They bring the world in their home. They see, don't see anything wrong. They compromise the Word of God. They may have their chapel filling up, but that's a good reason. I mean, it's a good sign there. They're not preaching the Word of God. They're not preaching it. They might be reading. I know we've had an individual who wrote us or who called me long distance, and he's taken the pastor's messages and he's reading them. He's a preacher before his audience. But he says something's wrong somewhere. They don't come out like they come out for the pastor, Brother Shelton. They just don't seem to have the same impressions or something along that line. But I praise the Lord for that. I told him, I said, now, that's a wonderful thing you're doing. Now, if he's not saved, the Lord could use the very message that he's bringing, reading, to awaken him and show him his lost condition. Or maybe somebody in that audience may be listening, and the Lord will take that message home to their hearts. Now, you know, here's one thing God's given us here. He's given us a heritage here. He's given us that Voice of Truth program. Now, we don't have to be a word about anything, or have to be afraid of the enemy, or that anything will happen, as long as we respect and honor and glorify and walk with our Lord. We have nothing to fear, nothing at all. And I'll take this position like I've taken before over and over again. This is God's work. This is we are His people, the people of His pasture. And surely He will never leave us nor forsake us. And the enemy does not understand that. You see, they just do not understand that. And if you would realize that, that would be one of the greatest truths in your heart. And listen, let me tell you something. The joy of the Lord in knowing those things is our strength, is our assurance. I wonder how many of us can say this morning as individuals, Brother Pastor, I know that God's not going to leave us. I know that He's with us. And I know that He's leading us. And I can say with you, I have nothing to fear from the enemy or anyone else. I know if you're unstable, you may run up to me and say, Why, well, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to look to the Lord. What are you going to do? Huh? I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to trust Him just like I did the first day I trusted Him. Like the first time I believed Him. I'm going to trust Him and I'm going to believe Him. Now, you know, we've been having things happen to us and everything else. But I can't be taking up running around here and running around there and looking after this and calling up this. What have I got to do? I've got to trust the Lord. I haven't got time to be chasing every call that may come into our homes and everything else. I've got to look to the Lord. And that's what makes the enemy so mad. For this work, for that broadcast in the morning, and for the work as a whole, for our mission leaders, for every individual throughout the nation, our tape plan, I cannot be chasing around. I've got things to do for my Lord. Have you? And if you're saved, you've got something to do for your Lord. You've got to witness the truth. Now, let's go on a little further. They give over to the flesh. They depend upon the flesh. They lean upon the flesh. They preach in the flesh. That's the reason why their preaching is not sound. Now, the word flesh here speaks of literal flesh, and thus suggesting the sin of licentiousness, which means unbridled or unrestrained lust, thus going beyond customary or proper bounds or limits. Now, these dreamers walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. They are presumptuous, self-will. You cannot say, you cannot, like I spoke last Sunday, I believe it was, that you can't get a thing through to individuals who are self-will. Just leave them alone and trust the Lord to break them. Can't do a thing. Can't make one impression. Self-will. Now, why? Why is it? Now, let me tell you something. Why does Jude constantly remind his folks here? Now, the same as we remind individuals here. We always go back, always look back on what has already happened, and to remind individuals that the same thing could happen to them if they do not know Christ, if they reject Him. They may develop a religious attitude, a religious makeup, put on themselves a self-righteous garment, as these individuals did, and then take it out on you, on the preacher, or the saints, the church, the ministry, and blame the ministry for everything. Why things are not going just right. Yes, they are presumptuous, they are self-will. And we must constantly remind you of individuals who were once here who were self-will. And you know them, and I know them. And God put them on the outside. And they could not gain their purpose, their end, and their end was to destroy this ministry, as we saw in the closing of the last days of our late pastor. But God refused to let them do so, and he's made this ministry just as strong as ever now, and we're going forward in His power, in His strength. And they could not destroy it then, so they're using other means now. They're trying to get around us, before us and back of us, and everything else, so they can get your attention and win your will. Now let me say this. True faith in Christ is manifested in a walk which is not after the flesh. Now, what we speak about the flesh, we talk about a walk after the flesh. And you can include jealousy and malice and slandering and things like that. Now, you cannot tell me that individual walking after the flesh with that type of spirit is saved. You cannot say that they are saved. They're walking after the flesh, as we showed you last Sunday. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. And no individual is saved will ever try to hurt another individual, or try to bring down another individual, or destroy another individual, religious or otherwise. Those individuals would never do it if they are saved. But they manifested themselves when they went about trying to destroy us, trying to destroy our testimony, trying to destroy this ministry, trying to destroy our late pastor, trying to destroy his character and his name, and those are the very same individuals that are preaching today in the flesh, and they're manifesting that spirit of those who do live in the flesh, which gives signs they are not saved. They are not saved. Because true faith in Christ is manifested in a walk which is not after the flesh, but is after the Spirit. Faith leads to good works. You're trying to help people. You're trying to uplift people. You're not trying to destroy people. You're trying to uplift the church. And in this respect, you wanted to make a better pastor or a better leader. You're praying for him, and you're praying for him in the spirit of love. On the other hand, as we see in such passages, Jude 8, a turning away from the truth of God's word produces evil results, not only in the spirit and the soul, but in the body as well. Now these scriptures in Galatians 5, as in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, points out to us that these things proceed out of the heart and defile a man. Talking about the spirit of the flesh, taught by our Lord in Matthew 15, 19 through 20. And these individuals despise dominion. Now we're getting down to the heart. Listen to it. They despise dominion. They defile the flesh. They despise dominion. Now, what does the word dominion mean? I'm sure many of us know now, especially if you've been keeping up in these studies with us. What does that word dominion means? Well, it means lordship. They despise lordship. Now, you listen carefully for the next few minutes. The word dominion means lordship. The words of verse 4, if you look at verse 4 in Jude 4, denying our only master and Lord, show that verse 8 has primary reference to the setting aside of Christ as Lord and Master. Setting aside. Now, what do you mean by setting aside the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Master? Well, let me say this. It is not to be expected that men who have denied the eternal preexistence or the virgin birth of Christ, the miracles, the substitutionary death, the resurrection, return of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be willing to own him as Lord. Now, like I mentioned some time ago, you may profess it by mouth, but you don't believe it in the heart. Now, there's a difference in that. In professing it with the lips and believing in the heart. You can say it with the lips and still not be saved. Do you know that? And still be in your sins. And still be in a position where you defile the flesh. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, the word despise means to do away with something laid down. They despise dominion. It means to count as a common thing, to make void, to frustrate. Now, these apostates set aside the word of God and substituted it for their own damnable doctrines, though they may quote from the word of God. Do you know that? How often have you had people... Well, I had one especially I remember so clearly. He took the word of God and he quoted from it. And then after he got through quoting it to me, he says, now this is what I think it means. And do you know that's what people do today? This is what unsaved religionists do, who try to pattern the word after their life instead of patterning their life after word. There's a difference there. So you try to pattern the word after your life to make it fit in with your life and with your lustful living. and with your fornication, with your adultery. You try to take the word of God and pattern it after your life instead of your life being conformed to the word of God. Now, I'm talking about unsaved religionists, preachers today. Oh, yes, I believe in the virgin birth of Christ. But you find them over there sitting down and fellowshipping with that individual who scoffs at it. That doesn't mean a thing in the world, does it? Huh? It's in the heart. If I know that Jesus was virgin born, and he was, and that Mary was a virgin, I certainly wouldn't sit down with someone who scoffs and talks about it and critical, and critical with the other doctrines of God's word. Now, the word of God, the word despise means to do to something. It means to count as a common thing, to make void, to frustrate. Now, these apostates set aside the word of God and substituted it for their own damnable doctrines. It is the nature. Now, you get this. It is the nature of unsaved religionists to despise dominion. 1 Timothy 4:1 warns of the doctrines of demons, to which men will give heed in the last days. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now even though our Lord now permits this denial of his authority, it is God's ultimate purpose that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Before any sinner is saved, he has to bow to the Lordship of Christ. And they speak evil of dignities, that is to speak reproachfully of, revile, rail at. Now you get this truth. Now, these filthy dreamers are highly critical of men whom God has put in places of authority and leadership. Now, they're highly critical. They mean to be critical, you see. They are highly critical. That's what the Word of God tells us. Now, there are times when we might be critical, and then, when the Lord opens things to us and we confess our sins, come to find out that we're in the wrong and not God's servants in the wrong, well, that makes a difference. But these individuals were highly critical, which means, in the literal sense, that they continually to be critical. And they meant to be critical of men whom God has put in places of authority and leadership. And they're critical of me today. They mean to be critical. They are highly critical. And so therefore, continuing in being critical, in a sense of being, there's no let up. And there won't be no let up until the individual is hurt or he's bring to destruction. Well, that individual, I mean, you cannot say that individual is saved. I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to let my enemies forget that they are lost until they repent. I'm not going to let the unsaved religionists that once used to be in our church think that everything is all right and now all is peace and we can get along together and walk together and write together and say how to do it together in a friendly manner and everything else. I'm not going to let them forget what they did unto this ministry and what they have done to our late pastor and what they are doing now until they repent. God's not going to let me forget it. Jude never let his people forget it. What these apostate teachers did and how they came in and crept in and brought their damnable doctrines with them and tried to destroy those in the church and would not recognize him as God's servant, as God's authority. I'll not let them forget. I can't forget. I cannot. Not until I repent. Now, these very ones who slandered our late pastor, who wrote those filthy letters, God says they are filthy dreamers. They are filthy dreamers. And they're preaching on the radio now, today, and then during the week. That very same individual who tried to destroy our pastor with his letters. I'm not going to let up until that individual repents. He doesn't know anything about salvation in Christ, nor anyone else that tags along with him, any group of church, any preachers, until they repent and shut their mouths. Because all they're doing is turning the grace of God to lasciviousness and trying to instruct others when they need to be taught, every one of them. These filthy dreamers are highly critical of men whom God has put in places of authority and leadership. Although the word of God says, speak evil of no man, the work of God continues to suffer from evil speaking, false accusations, unverified rumors, whisperings by those who profess to obey the word of God. Now, you know that's true. Just like Satan, he is called the accuser of the brethren over in Revelation. They do the things that their father did and does now. They do the work of their father, the devil. Every time individuals open their mouths against the Lord's chosen vessels. Now you get this. You may say, well, nothing's happened now so far. You keep on saying that over and over again. That be careful how you treat God's elect, and be careful what you say about them. And you say, well, Lord, nothing has happened yet. But listen. Listen, my friend, the judgments of God are near at hand, more than you think they are. They're grinding away, but they're grinding slowly. And you think about that, just like that sand and that hourglass, as it begins to go through that hourglass. You say, there's plenty in there. I don't see any end to that. There's a whole lot. But my friend, there's coming a time when that last grain is going to fall through that hourglass. And then, unless you repent, you're going to suffer the consequence, the judgment of God, upon your sins. Do you understand me this morning? Am I speaking plain? Now, I'm talking about that individual who loves his rebellion and loves to say things against God's servant. Now, let me repeat this again. Every time individual opens their mouths against the Lord's chosen vessels, they are doing the bidding of the devil. Psalms 105:15 plainly declares, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have their rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now I want everyone to take your Bible at hand and turn with me to the 13th chapter of Hebrews. We're going to close out our message. The 13th chapter of Hebrews. Begin with the first verse. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation and your manner of living be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't that a great truth there? Isn't that a great comfort, great consolation there as a child of God? Can you say that as his child? So that we may boldly say, every one of us, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you. Now listen to this wording. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now what is the end of their conversation, of their preaching? Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever? That's the theme of their message, of their testimony. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, with his own blood suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Oh, how tender are these words of the apostle unto the people of God. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now, what does that mean? That word obey, it doesn't mean to talk about them, criticize them, or try to harass them in every way you possibly can, or try to make them uncomfortable, restless. Listen, obey them that have the rule over you. The individual might not be much, and I recognize that. I'm not much. But this is the authority of God's word. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. They may do it with joy and not with grief. And then he goes on, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things, willing to live honestly. Now the God of peace, in the 20th verse, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now we have to leave in Radio Land. Hear us again over the voice of truth. Next Sunday at 7 till 8, the Bible School of the Air, 10 to 11, and 11 o'clock worship hour. Praise the Lord for you listening into us, hearing us. Let us hear from you. And you write us, and you pray for us. May God richly bless you. I'll leave you now until next Sunday morning, the voice of truth. Goodbye. God bless you. Now, what gracious words the Lord has given us this morning. I didn't bring it like I did in the study, because it had to do with it was timely for what's happening now. But I'll trust every one of you in the hands of the Lord, that he'll give you grace to look to him, to trust him, keep your eyes upon him, Let none of these things move you. Don't consider them. I wouldn't even listen to them. But look to the Lord. Listen to Him. Listen to that still small voice that said, what does it say? This is the way. This is the way. Follow therein. This is the way. Follow therein. And God's given us this gracious ministry. And it is the way. It points out the way for sinners to be saved. It points out that leads the saint into a greater life in Christ, strengthened with might by His power in the inner man, the Word of God dwelling richly in us, that will not be like the unstable seas that are tossed to and fro, but grounded in Christ. And my desire is for you that you might be saved. You might be saved. In the end, be saved. And when you come to press your head against that dying pillar, unless our Lord returns, you'll be able to say, I know Christ. I know Him. Thank you, Pastor, for being true to my soul, for being true to the Word of God that enabled me to hear and live. May God's richest blessings rest upon you. And I'm asking you to be back with us tonight in our prayer service and studying 1 Corinthians. And let's stand as we're dismissed. God bless you. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy presence, for Thy Word, for the Holy Spirit. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy great salvation. Lead us through the day. Bring us back tonight. Give us strength to bring Thy message. Give strength to the hearers to listen to hear it. And our blessed Lord, bless the message wherever it may go in weeks to come. Our Father, that sinners will find themselves on their faces crying, My Lord and my God, that every saint, every blood-bought sinner will find themselves on their faces crying, My Lord and my God. Lord Jesus, hear us and keep us. Give us victory. In Christ's name, we ask it all and for His sake. Amen. Goodbye. God bless you.